Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AY Radio here on the new sport here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast Team 980 in Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app downloaded today for free. Anywhere you get your app set, you can rewind if you missed the show. We've been live since 9 a.m. It's time for the final hour of the show, the Power Hour on AWOD Radio, all things NFL and the Washington Commanders. We want to hear from you. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go around the NFL right now with AWOD's picks. If you want to chime in, give us your thoughts. 1-800-636-1067. Wes, did you just say Mark dropped off? We'll get back to Mark if he can call back in. Oh, Mark's in. All right, let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. What's up, Mark? You're on the Fan with AWOD.
Top of the day to you, AWOD. How's it going, Adam? Great show. Great job. Shout out to my man, Wes, and you did a great job, Adam.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy, you guys were talking about earlier about the Cavaliers, and I think you're going to see a lot of games like that this year in college football because of the number of programs and the transfer portal. However, I feel like Adam does that it really the transfer portal really increases the lack of fidelity in our world, and people don't see it for what it is, and I don't think it's made the game any better. It may make for some wilder games and some wilder scores, but I'm with you, Adam. And as far as the skins go, the key is synergy. When they all play together, they can take Atlanta. They need to cut down on the penalties. If they can go with less than a half a dozen penalties, I think they have an excellent chance of winning the game. And if that synergy's there and that defense plays, and I think the name of the game is you got to put the heat in the street and break that gentleman playing quarterback for Atlanta in the correct way, and you know what I'm talking about. And
yeah.
I know you're lined and loaded up, Adam.
And Mark,
yeah,
I really want this team to play for Dan Quinn and play for Mariota. It's really interesting circumstances that the team is going back to Atlanta where Dan Quinn led them to the Super Bowl, and going back to Atlanta where Marcus Mariota last was a starting quarterback. Like if these guys love and respect those two, I think they're going to play for them and play inspired for them.
I think that's a good point, Adam, and I think you may well see that because I think all the prognosticators, as we call them, are pretty much picking against the old skins because they found out that Mariota's playing and they know that if Jaden did play, he wouldn't be full speed. And I think they might be in for a surprise, and hopefully that all of us fans, you included, Adam, will have a little surprise for them. If that synergy's there, I can see good results. And
yeah.
Hey, buddy, make sure you have a good day and take care of yourself, man.
Yep, good call, Mark. I do think that the line is in favor of Atlanta because of McLaurin being injured. Jaden as well. We've taken some hits on offense. That's why it's a lower total as well at 43.5. But we're going to go around the NFL right now with AWOD's picks. And first off, like, how good was that Thursday night game, Seattle against Arizona? That ended up being fantastic. Arizona still think they've got a quarterback issue with Kyler Murray. Even though he came back in that game, he was awful at times in terms of his accuracy. Seattle survives a nail biter, but that was a good Thursday night game. Much better than the previous one. 9:30 a.m. the Dublin game. Usually I sleep through it. I've actually given this a 2-star matchup. I'm kind of excited for it. Aaron Rodgers last year went across the pond, came back without his head coach. Robert Saleh didn't make it back, right? He got fired from the Jets. Now with Pittsburgh going up against Minnesota, who will have Carson Wentz, I believe, for J.J. McCarthy. Give me the Steelers to win that one there. Even though I think Minnesota's defense will certainly keep them in it, and I don't think those at Croke Park in Dublin are going to see a ton of points being scored. I think a defensive battle that Pittsburgh wins. Buffalo is my lock of the week. Might be my lock of the month, might be my lock of the year, might be the lock of the century. 3-0 at home against the 0-3 New Orleans Saints. For some reason, that line opened up at 16.5, has been bet down to 14.5. I mean, Vegas still thinks that Buffalo's going to win by two touchdowns. I think they're going to win by at least two touchdowns. That's my survivor pool pick. I'm burning the Bills. I'm guaranteeing a victory. I'm also guaranteeing that that's going to be a blowout and not worth watching. I think it's going to be a dud of a game. I do. Browns-Lions. There's actually some intrigue in this one for me. I'm giving this a two-star matchup here. I think this could be the last maybe start for Joe Flacco this season. They could make a change after this, and I want to see this Lion team again. Like, I think we all overreacted week one when they got blown out by the Packers. In the last 2 weeks, they have scored 90 points, 52 against the Bears, 38 against the Ravens. I want to see if that offense is still the best in the NFC. Give me the Lions to win that. Panthers-Patriots. I hate this matchup here. I have zero interest in this game. I'll pick Drake May and the Patriots to win. Neither team has gotten me excited yet this season. Chargers-Giants. That's going to be interesting. Jackson Dart. Wesley, do you know if they've given a update on Malik Nabers' status for Sunday? Because if they're throwing Jackson Dart out there without his number one wide receiver, that's just bad business right there. That's bad football. We'll see if Malik Nabers can go. I think the Chargers are going to roll over them, even though it's at MetLife Stadium. And this is going to be big because that leads us to that Ravens-Chiefs game. I'm predicting if the Chargers win, which I'm expecting them to win, the loser of Ravens-Chiefs, out of the playoffs. It's too early in the season. Out of the playoffs if you're 1-3 and you have a two-game deficit in your own division there. Plus, I think Pittsburgh's going to be a playoff team. I think it's pretty obvious that the Chargers are going to be a playoff team, maybe the Broncos. Ravens-Chiefs, the loser of that game, I think is in serious jeopardy of missing out on the postseason. Eagles-Bucks, my hot take this week is that if you've been watching the Eagles, they've been trending towards defeat. Yes, the Super Bowl champions, who have been on this insane win streak, will lose to the Buccaneers in Tampa, like they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs a few years ago. Philadelphia barely beat the Cowboys, barely beat the Chiefs. I don't know how they came back and beat the Rams. Sean McVay needs to watch the film and explain it to me. How the hell do you blow a 26-7 lead? It's insane. But this week, Philly gets their first loss of the season. Baker Mayfield, the NFL savant, will lead the Bucs on a game-winning drive. Yes, give me the Bucs plus 3.5 at home. I love that. Titans-Texans is one of what I think is three just complete duds of an NFL game this weekend. If you have Red Zone on and they go Titans-Texans, we should be sending tweets to Red Zone. Take this off my TV. I don't care. 0-3 Titans, 0-3 Texans. The loser of this game, their coach is absolutely on the hot seat. Titans fans already want their coach fired. It's crazy how things have changed with D'Amico Ryan in Texas. Maybe he should not have fired Bobby Slowick, the offense coordinator, last season. Colts-Rams. That's a three-star game right there. We get to find out how legit Indiana Jones, Daniel Jones, is. Do we need Harrison Ford to make another movie with Daniel Jones at quarterback? He has been the NFL's best quarterback statistically. It's insane what he's done. He's playing like a veteran that has teamed up with an offense coordinator that gets him. He's getting the ball out on time, in rhythm. And Daniel Jones had his best season when Saquon Barkley helped the Giants make the playoffs and beat Kirk Cousins and the Vikings in the playoffs. Jonathan Taylor's playing at an insanely good level. Three games in the season, he's averaging 112 yards a game. Yeah, and he's catching the ball out of the backfield. But Puka Nacua and the Rams have had a good start to the season as well. That's going to be an awesome game. I really do think that's going to be a great game right there. I do lean Rams, because I don't think Daniel Jones is legit and good enough to lead his team on a game-winning drive if it's close at the end, but that should be a really good one. Jags 49ers is much more interesting than I think it was when the season started. I kind of thought the 49ers were going to be bad, losing Debo, losing Purdy. Mac Jones has picked him up. Trevor Lawrence has thrown four touchdowns, 671 yards, but four really bad interceptions. The thing is, Jacksonville's been able to run the ball. Travis Etienne Jr. has been a top 10 running back, and I've had him on my bench in fantasy. I'm starting him this weekend. Give me a Jags victory on the road against the 49ers, who I think are overrated. Ravens-Chiefs is your certified NFL game of the week. It was the game, one of the games of the year last year. It seems like just a classic battle when these two coaches go up against each other, Harbaugh against Reed, Mahomes against Jackson. And like I said, I think the loser is seriously in jeopardy of missing out on the postseason. So that's my AWOD Radio Certified NFL Game of the Week. It's a three-star game. If there's one game that you can tune into if you're running around and you can only watch the Redskins and one other, tune in CBS 425 for Ravens-Chiefs. Bears-Raiders is a dud of a game. Give me the pack to go into Big D and roll over Dallas. Jets-Dolphins is an absolute nightmare of a Monday night game. Good thing Bengals-Broncos is slightly better. I get Bo Nix and the Broncos to take down Jake Browning and Cincinnati. You've been listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Doc Walker's coming up at 12 noon. We'll still get to my keys to victory, pathway to success, and your calls, your predictions on Commanders-Falcons next on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. Wes will get me fired up here. Let's get into it. Keys to victory, pathway to success. How does Washington win on the road week four tomorrow, 1 p.m. against the Atlanta Falcons? Michael Penix, Bijan Robinson, and the Atlanta Falcons. Here's what we know about the Falcons so far this year, all right? Three games into the season, they're 1-2, and their two defeats have been inside of their division. Just completely blown out by the Panthers. But they went toe-to-toe with Baker in the Bucs week one and actually got a victory over what I think is a decent Vikings team week two, 22-6, because they were able to run the ball. So far, they are 20th in the National Football League with passing yards slightly below 200. They are top 10 in rushing yards at 6 with 140 per game. But they're not scoring the ball. They only score 14 points per game three games into the season. This game starts at the defensive side of the ball for Washington. The defense must have a good day. We've heard from the callers. The callers saying the defense needs a turnover. I'm praying for a turnover. We need a turnover. A fumble. An interception. I'll take a fourth down stop. Gotta have a good defensive performance. And it's got to be a good start to this game defensively. I keep going back to, we've only played one other road game, and the Packers went right down the field their first basically three possessions. Got to get off the field defensively. And then I think the obvious one is the next man up mentality. We're thin at wide receiver. No McLaurin. No injury. No Noah Brown. Who's going to be the guy? Chris Moore, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. And then I think the other thing is we've got to take advantage of whatever we're given. If we get a short field, we got to get into the end zone, all right? We got to be really good in the red zone at converting and making it 6 points and not just kicking field goals here. Those are the little things that need to go right for Washington to get the win. But I look at the Falcons' strengths and I say, look, this is a team that can run the football. Couple weeks into the season, Washington has been a team that can stop the other teams running the ball. I mean, we were really good against Ashton Jeanty. We were really good against the Giants. This is a bigger test. This is maybe the hardest test we're going to face all season outside of Saquon. I said on my show, my bold prediction was Bijan Robinson was going to be the new face of the league this year and be like a 1,700-yard back. He's been really good 3 weeks into the season, maybe even better catching the ball out of the backfield. He can hurt you. And then they can burn you in play action as well. They don't have the best pass rush. It's no secret. They were second to last in the NFL last year in sacks, and they drafted two edge rushers. They still aren't really creating a great pass rush. They have a decent secondary. I think, you know, can Washington keep this next man up mentality? Can they keep that attitude? Can they keep fighting for Dan Quinn? Because, you know, when he got hit last week, I really did think that this team showed their identity. They get knocked down, they get back up again. No Jaden Daniels. Marcus Mariota will start. I think Bill's going to be able to good to go as well, but I expect McNichols and Rodriguez to lead the team in carries. And I think it's going to be a battle. Like I don't think we're going to go in there and win 30-0. I don't think we're going to go in there and get stop after stop after stop. I think there's going to be a drive or two where Bijan Robinson is just too good, that his ability to pick up 5 or 6 yards on first and second down make their offense drive the length of the field, because Michael Penix can convert third and short situations. We're going to have to be really good on first and second down to not get into these third and short situations. But I really am looking forward to this. I've never had this much confidence in a backup quarterback. I do think we've got the best backup quarterback in the league. All week long, I have felt like it doesn't matter who starts. We have two quarterbacks who could both beat the Atlanta Falcons. But it's not just one guy. It's a 53-man roster. It's offense, defense, and special teams. It's playing complementary football. It's not beating ourselves with mistakes, turnovers, dropped passes, and maybe more importantly than all that, penalties, which has really been an issue this year. I mean, just too many penalties in the first 3 weeks, and it's disappointing because Dan Quinn told us during training camp they were committed to that. That's why they hired referees, right? Everybody was like, oh, why aren't they doing the joint practice with the Ravens? They still had referees in Ashburn and did a whole practice with referees, and you'd think, well, that's going to prevent them from having stupid holding penalties, false starts, defensive holding, pass interference, just too many penalties this year. And to be quite honest with you, too many penalties in the Dan Quinn era. It's hard to complain about much with Dan Quinn. 12 wins last year, 2 more in the postseason, 2-1 this year, great start, you know, winning a game with a backup quarterback. The penalties, the one thing that I think he's probably pissed about, that and the defense not creating a turnover. So those things need to be cleaned up. And that's, you just can't win on the road giving them free first downs because of penalties. That's going to piss me off if that happens tomorrow. But I'm expecting a good game. I'm expecting a battle. And I think it's going to lean Washington's in terms of the emotions element of this. There are people on the Falcons roster that probably remember and might be upset with Mariota leaving in 2022. I think he's probably got more energy for this matchup here. I think Dan Quinn's probably got more energy for this matchup here as well. You know, they're going back to a place that, yes, they might have had some success, but also they had some failures there as well. And I think both of them like the situation they're in right now a lot more than where they were in Atlanta. Better roster, better organization, more talent. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on a Super Saturday, September 27th. This is DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Dan Quinn and his Commanders, they return to Atlanta and looking to build on their 2-1 start. The Falcons, they're hoping to regroup, to resettle Michael Penix, and get back to their winning ways. I'll give you my keys to victory and pathway to success. What's your official prediction for Sunday, Washington against the Atlanta Falcons? Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I'd like to make the most interactive radio show possible. You can tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Let's go to Chris in Maryland. Chris, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, morning, Adam. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Why are you guys so – I'm a Falcons fan, so –
Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you guys – a lot of fans here, y'all are so, like – y'all burying the Falcons. And I don't think y'all are doing your research enough about the Falcons, because if you're looking at that 30-0 debacle against the Carolina Panthers – if you go through, look at, I looked at the game, but if you go through drive by drive, Falcons opened the game out with a great drive, missed the field goal, short field for Carolina. It was 10-0 at halftime.
Right.
And if you on defense and you got a young defense and your offense is not producing anything, eventually your defense is going to bend.
Right.
But at the end of
so
the
my
day,
question, so why is this going to be any different? You're throwing out the same kicker, right?
Yeah, but this is going to be different because Zach Robinson reminds you of Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury will call a great game and then goes back to the well and go back to doing what he does. Like, your running game will work 1 week, and then you go away from it the next weekend. For example, Atlanta, Bijan Robinson averaging 5.5 yards a carry. why are you going away from the run?
Yeah. Well, I think Washington's not going to go away from the run because it's a backup quarterback. I agree with you, and at times last year with Jaden's heroics, they would just completely abandon the run. But because it's Mariota, I think Washington's going to probably have 35 carries.
That's great. Falcons are a pretty good run defense. They are pretty thin, but they really they got some underrated players on their D-line. Mm-hmm. They don't give up a lot of running yards. They gave up – Tampa Bay is a great running team. They gave up 101 yards to Tampa Bay as a team.
Yeah. So where's your confidence level in Michael Penix? Because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the battle of the two quarterbacks. One of them threw 50% completion percentage last week and two interceptions, and that was Michael Penix.
My confidence level on Michael Penix is I'm looking at him as a little above average quarterback. And this is why. Michael Penix only been sacked 5 times this whole year. Michael Penix only been hit 10 times in 3 games. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix was, they were a little too high off that Minnesota victory. Now they're coming back to reality here, right here. But another thing people not looking at, Drake London been hurt the whole year. He got hurt. Darnell Mooney haven't been participating all offseason. He got hurt the first week when they put on the pads.
Yeah.
Their wide receivers haven't been in sync. So the good key for Atlanta that I believe Atlanta is going to, how they're going to beat Washington, and I'm going to call it, and Kyle Pitts is going to be the reason why we win. The run is going to be effective, and the middle of the field is going to be the most vulnerable part of y'all defense. Pitts have 3 touchdowns. The last 3 games, Pitts scored a touchdown every game against you guys. Pitts always show up against you guys somehow, some way.
Yeah.
But our key is we don't blitz as much when A.J. Terrell is not playing. A.J. Terrell is our only good corner that we have. We suck in the slot. Commanders have to beat us by putting Debo in the slot, taking advantage of our slot corners, and utilizing your tight ends in the middle of the field. And hopefully, because look, we don't give up big plays. Carolina, the biggest play was 8 yards. We gave up only 5 plays over 20. No, excuse me, only 3 plays over 20 yards the whole year.
Yeah,
we keep everything in front of us. We got
so,
a good.
So let me ask you a question, because I understand what you're saying, and I do think it's going to be a close game. I'm not expecting a butt whooping at all. There's so many things that I think favor Washington, and it starts at the coaching battle. I think Dan Quinn's going to coach circles around Raheem Morris. I think at offense coordinator, Zach Robinson might be losing his job at the end of this week. Cliff Kingsbury's going to have a better game plan than him. Like, I think you guys are starting to realize Raheem Morris is a terrific coordinator and a great person, not good enough as a head coach.
But absolutely. But Jeff is a good defensive coordinator. And also, but check this out. Deron Payne was there when we played y'all last. He didn't make a play. Chris Lindstrom held him hostage. Listen, you guys, I love Dan Quinn. Guess what? Dan Quinn was in a beautiful organization. The reason why Dan Quinn didn't have success at the end of his career, because when you start winning, you have to pay your quarterback. You got to pay your superstars. And you got to put a lot of pressure on the guys, your quarterback. So y'all about to have that same issue because y'all going to pay Jaden. And Jaden's going to be a $300 million man.
Yeah.
So you're going to run into that same issue. You got to build through the draft. But I'm confident with Atlanta is because their young defensive line is going to get after Mariota. Mariota always have that one good game, but he goes back to reality. It's the reason why he haven't stayed put in, and he bounced around from Tennessee to Atlanta to Oakland. He's good. He's a good spark once in a while, but now we had a whole week to prepare, and no Mariota is going to be the quarterback. Now watch the real Mariota come out. So
well, I think that's where you're wrong. I think Raheem Morris was preparing for Jaden, just like I think Pete Carroll was preparing for Jaden. I think Atlanta thought Jaden Daniels was going to play, and this is going to throw them off slightly. But Mariota has moved around, but he's never had as good of an offensive coordinator as Cliff Kingsbury. And Cliff hasn't had a great game plan every game, all right? He was awful against the Packers.
Absolutely.
But I think he's going to have a great game plan, and that's going to be the difference, that Washington's offense is moving the football, and your 14 points per game offense with Michael P. and Bijan Robinson are going to be shut down at home, and you're going to be watching a game that's a blowout in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Adam, one last thing. You want to know what? Falcons are terrible in the red zone. They move the ball all day. Falcons are the third worst team in the red zone. They're 30th in the red zone. The Commanders are 5th in red zone offense. The red zone, if the Falcons move the ball, your defense don't bend, it's going to be a close game. But if your defense bend in the red zone and the Falcons start to convert in the red zone, the sky's the limit for the Falcons offense. Falcons move the ball over Tampa Bay, easy. Missed field goals. Cool missed the game-winning tying field goal.
Yeah.
Falcons didn't convert in the red zone. Falcons didn't convert in the red zone against Minnesota. Even though the game was 6-22, the game should have been 35-6. We got to convert in the red zone. We are one of the worst teams in the red zone. And you're right. Coaching, yeah. You got it. But guess what? The game got to be played on the field. And I think the final score will be 27-13.
Oh, if Falcons win by 14, you can have 10 minutes next Saturday on the show. I appreciate you chiming in. Almost like he's looking at my notes. It is going to come down to Washington's defense, I think, bending but not breaking. You have to get red zone stops to win this game on the road. Let's go to PJ in Virginia. PJ, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, happy Saturday, everybody. I think it's going to be a close game. I think we're you know, a stronger team, but the combination of, you know, it's in Atlanta, we're down Jaden, and we're down Terry. You know, it's going to make it closer, but I think we're going to win something like 21-13, 20-17. A solid win. I think as far as on, you know, when we're on defense, right, the big thing is, you know, easier said than done, but just don't let Bijan Robinson beat you all by himself, right? If Drake London makes some catches, so be it. I can see a scenario where Atlanta kind of moves the ball well, but we kind of clamp down in the red zone.
Yeah.
Hold them to some field goals. And then on offense, I think early in the game, don't try to force feed Debo too much, because if you're Atlanta and you're seeing Terry and Jaden are out and you're seeing like the way the season's been, they're going to key on Debo early. So I'm not saying avoid Debo, but early in the game, you know, Ertz, Rodriguez, the other running backs, you know, feed them early and then kind of work Debo in organically. And then the only other thing I was going to say is that aside from the historically bad trade that Dallas did for Micah Parsons for two late first-rounders and a defensive tackle, which I think it's going to be a historically bad trade for Dallas. It's not that they traded him, but it's the lack of value they got back. I think the other thing that kind of historically it was bad was what Atlanta did, what they did to their franchise by a huge contract for Kirk and then grabbing Penix in the first round. They screwed themselves over. They could have done one or the other. You know, if you grab Kirk but you don't grab Penix, you can use that first round pick on something else. If you would have not taken Kirk, then you would have had more money to surround the young quarterback with. So I just think that was right up there with what Jerry Jones did. I don't think it's only him, Morris. I don't think that he's with a good organization as far as the general manager should have been let go for that. So that's my thoughts on that. But happy Saturday, and y'all, you know, everybody's amazing. Let's have a great day, everybody.
Thanks. Yeah, good call. Appreciate you chiming in. And I'm going to double down on what he's been saying and everybody's been saying about red zone stops. Because of Parker Romo, like our quarterback, our kicker, we thought was kind of on his last leg. Parker Romo missed from 45, missed from 50 plus, 0 for 2 last week. I get he was 5-for-5 against Minnesota, but two big misses in the loss, 30-0 to the Panthers. This is a game here in which it could come down to the two field goal kickers who can convert. That's why you have to get stops when a team gets to the red zone. Ben, but don't break. I'll give you my keys to victory and pathway to success when we return. Doc Walker takes over at noon, the Super Bowl champion and legend in the DMV. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. This is DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Most Commanders coverage in town, the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can hear me in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can catch me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3, and always available on the Odyssey app. Had Doc Walker on the show Friday. Always good to chop it up with him. He will be taking over the airwaves next, starting at 12 noon. But I promised, the keys to victory, the pathway to success. Wesley, you've been running the ones and twos. You know by now, this is the segment everybody gets fired up for. The segment that gets the most downloads. The segment I get the most DMs about. Random Commanders fans. AWOD, what are the keys? The first key to victory on the road is the key to your car. Well, you got to get in the car and drive. How do you drive on the road? How is Washington going to win this game? It's the combo of the backs. Debo, Marcus, Bill, McNichols, Mick, don't forget about me, and the fourth quarter man, Chris Rodriguez. First key to victory, we need 150 yards of rushing offense. It's five different guys that I believe will touch it. Like I said, Debo will get opportunities to run. They will have him in the backfield, I believe, at times on Sunday. Marcus will keep it. I think he's even better than Jaden at making the split-second decision of when to keep it and when to hand it off in run-pass options. I love him bringing that to the table this weekend, especially against his former team, and that's what he was so good about. I mean, he almost beat Washington as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons with his ability to run the football, and it's going to set it up for everybody else. Marcus starts keeping it and have success. All of a sudden, there's a hole for Bill or McNichols. The first key to victory is 150 yards of rushing offense, and that's a lot. But this team is top three right now in the NFL, and at home, they're averaging 210 rushing yards. Gotta have the battle in the trenches, the strength of the offensive line, that's gotta travel on the road. Second key to victory, the key to the house key, the house of the Atlanta Falcons, the formerly house of Dan Quinn and Marcus Mariota when he was the head, when he was the quarterback. So how do you win on the road? I've been talking about this on the show. We've got to take the crowd out of this game. The second key to victory is a halftime lead. Against Atlanta last year, that was not the case. We kept them in it. We gave them confidence to go out there and to end up sending it to overtime, right? So we've got to have an early lead. Put this game to bed, right? How does that happen? We got to get off to a better start offensively and defensively. Let's get maybe a key three and out. To start the game. Give Marcus Mariota some short field. It's complimentary football. It's Debo Samuel having a good kick return. Jalen Lane getting an opportunity, having a good punt return. That's all going to be coming together here for the second key. We have to have a halftime lead. Third key to victory, that is the key to your safe where you keep all the cash. How do you cash in and win this game? Look, I've said it before. We have to get red zone stops. We have to get red zone stops. You cannot let them. I mean, that's what happened last year, right? Three red zone trips, 21 points. It kept them in the game against Washington. We were better than them from start to finish. It's so many times in the NFL, it comes down to who gets stopped in the red zone. So that's certainly a big part of the pathway to success. We have to create explosive plays and have a smart run design by Cliff Kingsbury, because I think Atlanta's going to expect us to run the ball as well, win in the trenches. But the third key to victory is to get the key to the safe and cash in and finally win the turnover battle. And to get an interception or to get a key fumble or a couple of fourth down stops. Washington, one of the only teams in the NFL so far who has not gotten an interception or a fumble. It's Washington, it's the New York Jets, and it's the Miami Dolphins. It's not a conversation you want to be in with those three. Got to get a turnover. I want it to be Trey Amos. I'll take it from anybody. We had a caller said Frankie Louvu. I mean, whoever it is, just give me a turnover. My official prediction is that Washington will win this game 24-16. I think it's going to be really close. I kind of expect Atlanta to get off to a good start. Like I want us to have a halftime lead, and it's one of the keys. But when you get blown out 30-0, like that's got to be awful to watch film with your coach. And like we do Tell the Truth Monday, imagine how bad and embarrassing that Tell the Truth Monday is for all those guys. The kicker that missed two field goals. The guys that missed three blocks. The guys that dropped passes. The fact that they got blown out 30-0 and Raheem Morris is starting to see his seat heat up a little bit, I think they're going to kind of punch us in the mouth, and that's why I keep saying this team has shown their identity for this year is when they get knocked down, they get back up again. That's what their head coach did. That's what almost everybody on this team has done. Marcus Mariota was knocked down when he was taken out of the game by the Atlanta Falcons and left the team. And he got back up again, went to Philly, came to Washington, and has been a terrific mentor for Jane Daniels and getting his opportunity right here. Cliff Kingsbury got knocked down when he was fired by the Arizona Cardinals, went to Thailand, hung out in USC for a year with Lincoln Riley. He got back up again with Washington. You know, this team has had a second chance opportunity vibe last year, and I do think the identity of this year is when you get knocked down, you get back up again. You get back up bigger, stronger, and more ready for the game, for the fight. And so I think Washington's got to show, they've got to show that they can go to tough environments and get a win. We're going to have to win eventually on the road. And might as well start against Atlanta. When the schedule came out, I said, just like probably a lot of my listeners said, I see a 3-1 start here because New York only had 4 wins last year, right? Vegas had 3. Atlanta wasn't a playoff team. We all knew Green Bay was going to be tough, nearly impossible to win that game. This is a game that you circled as first road victory of the season. Let's go take it from the Falcons on Sunday. Let's go take it from them. I really do think this is going to come down to, like, if everybody in that locker room loves and respects Dan Quinn as much as I think they do, they won't go win this game for Dan Quinn. If everybody in that locker room trusts and has confidence in Marcus Mariota as much as they say they do, they will go out there and make plays for him so that the team wins this game. My final prediction is 24-16 Washington wins, improves to 3-1. I'll be back next Saturday with you guys right here bright and early on The Fan, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. You can always rewind if you missed it on the Odyssey app. Download it today for free or check out the podcast. It is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. For Wesley running the ones and twos, doing a great job today. Appreciate all the awesome callers that we had. Rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed my recap of UVA Florida State. I was at the game yesterday. It was awesome. G from the shop tweets me, Rick Doc Walker, yes, the Super Bowl champions coming up next. Maurice tweets me, AWOD, good tweet. That foolish Falcons fan has been calling every local radio station. Oh, I know. He called last year, too, and we still got to win. You've been listening to AWOD on The Fan. It's Doc Walker coming up next.